You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. It is our podcast here at the Business Day for a roundup and look at some of the top economic and business issues in and around South Africa. For today, we are looking at the digital economy. We are looking at mobile apps. We're looking at apps in general. We're looking at this world that has literally changed the way that people interact and do business. And on the line, we are joined by Nick Durant, who is the Bluegrass Digital founder and CEO, and he's going to be just giving us just some insights into what the industry is looking like today and how you can actually be a participant of this digital economy. Nick, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
No. Thank you so much for being with us. Just as a, you know, as a starting point, what's your particular interest when it comes to mobile app development and that particular you know, realm? And have you always been there?
Well, we've been around for 20 years as really a digital solutions provider. So historically, that's been more around the web, and more recently, so the last 8 years or so, we've been more involved in building mobile applications, or certainly a lot of the solutions have had a large mobile component to them.
And what actually caused you guys to make that switch? Because I'm sure back in the day, I think people that have been following software development or just app development on the whole will know that we had a situation where apps used to run on machines locally, then we moved to a situation where they were now being hosted as web apps, and then we got to mobile apps, and then I think we're sort of seeing a resurgence of web apps in the form of cloud-based apps. How's been that development for you guys?
Well, I think certainly in the industry, it's a never-ending and evolving process as hardware and devices become more powerful. Obviously, the ability to build software applications, mobile applications, using a native app on your phone, or maybe using a web browser as the way to access the application is always changing. I think, you know, the last 20 years, obviously, predominantly a lot of it's been web or desktop orientated, and then we moved to more responsive websites, which were then catering for a mobile interface, and through the growth of obviously smartphones, and the power of a smartphone is being the ability to then now produce more feature-rich apps that can live on your phone and be easily accessible. So it's progressing further again as what they call PWAs, or progressive web apps, are coming into play, where you don't necessarily have to build an app that sits on your iOS or Android phone. You can now use the native web browser on the phone. So that's becoming more powerful, which then lends itself to, you know, being able to create apps through the web browser interface. You know, so it's a never-ending and evolving process as technology evolves itself.
So from you, where do you see either growth or the most revenue potential at the moment for app developers or software studios that are trying to either beat trends or, you know, at least stay relevant in the current market?
I think there's certainly a large startup scene in South Africa. So you know, if you're building out a product, and we've worked with some startups where you're building more of a business-to-consumer product, it might be a utility app or some sort of game, or you know, something that's improving our lifestyle. There's always a scope for new ideas in that space. But a lot of the work we also do is on the business-to-business side. So you're finding a lot of companies in South Africa who are still slightly behind the curve, are still going through, you know, you've heard the term digital transformation, but they're still obviously moving a lot of what is very manualized processes or old applications that are sitting, you know, within their company infrastructure or network, moving towards transforming themselves to much more modern technology, and obviously mobile is a big one, because these days we're all field workers, really, because a lot of us work remotely. You know, I'm sitting at home now, been doing some work this morning from home, but then I have a meeting and then I go to a coffee shop and then back to the office. So we're all mobile, workers, and we need to have access to our company information, be able to capture information, you know, remotely. And so obviously mobile devices make that a very easy way to do that.
I think one of the things I'd be interested to get your thoughts on, and I think our listeners would be too, quite well, is just the issue of the customer themselves. Where are customers falling, I guess, on the spectrum, and how is that influencing app development? I'm guessing this is sort of like a chicken before the egg sort of question. You know, what influences what? Is it that consumers and the way that they are moving and interacting with the market is changing the way that businesses do things, or do businesses introduce new ways of doing things and then customers, you know, have to adapt to that? Which way are you seeing it, and how do you see it influencing app development?
Well, I think, you know, certainly there's, we do take a lot of, I suppose, ideas, or see what's going on globally. But obviously there are certain situations and be it geographical that relate to Africa and South Africa in terms of how we do business and how we run our lives. I think, you know, for the most part, the first interaction many Africans have with the internet is actually through a mobile device.
Yeah.
Where overseas, often, you know, you have a desktop or a laptop at a school or where it may be, but often it's our parents' devices that we start to interact with the internet with. And obviously with the situation, and access to internet is a challenge that our cell networks are pretty strong locally, and being able to get us access to the internet in remote locations. So I think, you know, we're growing up with mobile devices in our hands, and, you know, I mean, even my kids, obviously, you know, they spend so much time on iPads or on tablets, you know, and so they're obviously interacting with apps all the time. It's going to be simply a big part of their lives, something certainly I didn't have growing up. So, you know, it's going to be very attached to how we do things. You know, it's going to be inherently to the new generation that, you know, how we run our lives. And you can, I think a lot of us can already see how we run our daily utilities, our banking. You know, in South Africa and Africa, mobile wallets have become, and mobile payment mechanisms have grown substantially, with some big key players emerging and startups emerging offering solutions in that space, because it's dealing with really a more of an African problem of having access, and the only way to get access really is through mobile technology. So, you know, you can see it's certainly going to only grow, and obviously as access becomes easier for our population, and the cost of getting access to, you know, data comes down, you know, it's only going to help the cause of trying to, you know, expand that whole mobile offering to our nation.
I guess on that, I have to ask the question, and it's something that we've actually spoken a little bit about with various app developers that we talk to on the show, is what are your thoughts? Are the machines coming to, you know, take our jobs simply because you guys are, as app developers, you're part of the teams that actually write the code for some of these pieces of software, you know? So what would you say to people that perhaps bring some critique, saying that you are contributing to taking away people's jobs?
Well, I think, you know, that certainly is happening. We are going through this sort of this period in, you know, in the world, in the industry, where all this change is going on, and there's companies are readapting and readjusting. So, you know, technology is and automation is coming into play, which is taking away a lot of the manual processing jobs. But at the same time, there's certainly new jobs emerging and new roles emerging. You know, you can go and study a data science degree or course, you know, at a university these days where, you know, that didn't exist 5-10 years ago. So there are a lot more new roles and obviously far more technically orientated jobs. You know, I think any student coming out of university almost comes with a preset of skills these days, certainly something that I 20-30 years ago never had leaving the university, where you kind of almost plugged in certainly. So I think where they go and finish university and look at jobs they want to do, I think, you know, technologically advanced roles are appearing. So I think, yes, there is this adjustment and period of adjustment within companies as almost they're shifting their focus from, you know, removing certain roles and obviously creating new ones in a sense. So I think we're seeing a lot of the negative news around retrenchments and you know, robotic process automation and technology killing jobs, but we don't really see as much news around obviously all the new roles that are emerging. I think people are still required, you know, technology and robots and artificial intelligence, you know, can do so much, but obviously often context is required. And a lot of time context requires humans to obviously interpret things or understand the context of the data or what the robot's telling to be able to be able to give the right answers.
Actually, on that, we're just gonna take a bit of a break and then we'll be back, because I'm very interested in these thoughts just around some of the skills that are being brought into the market. So we are on the line with Nick Durant, who is at Bluegrass Digital. He is a founder and the CEO, and he was just giving us a roundup of what the app development economy is looking like. So we're just going to take a break.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Business Day Spotlight. We are talking on the line with Nick Durant, who is a founder and the CEO of Bluegrass Digital. They are an app development house in the business for the last 2 decades or so. And he was just giving us a bit of history lesson just around the evolution of the industry. And just before the break, he was saying something very interesting just around the fact that there is a bit of tension right now in the market, that yes, there are a lot of roles that are being lost to technology, but at the same time, there are a lot of roles that are being created by technology. So I'm just going to ask Nick, I think, you know, over the last few years, there was this craze where everyone wanted to learn how to code, and they said that the way to future-proof yourself is to make sure that, you know, you understand Java, C#, HTML5, or whatever the language is at the time. Do you still think that coding is that skill that everyone needs, or are we moving towards other skills? I heard just before the break you were talking about data science and analytics.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, the concept of coding, you know, so much of the connected world is run by code. You know, essentially the software runs the hardware in a lot of industries and you know, a lot more of the students that are leaving university are almost coming, you know, pre-built with coding skills, which is something relatively new. I think, you know, talking about actual technology stack, as you gave a few examples there of sort of scripting languages or HTML, I think, you know, obviously HTML is the language of the web, but I think a lot more needs to be, you know, I think you need to come with a lot of the kind of logic skill set, almost the engineering brain set, because, you know, you need to be flexible to be able to pick up different types of language. I think a lot more developers these days are more agnostic.
Yeah.
So they kind of almost can see the code, like see the matrix in a sense, but they can quickly start to adapt and obviously start to learn new languages,
yeah,
you know, by understanding just the basic principles of coding and logic, etc. So I think that's always, I mean, they're going to be new technologies, but I think the concept of coding won't go away. I think that's going to be a big part of obviously building software and solutions in the future.
Do you think data science is a necessary skill going forward? Because I've just noticed a trend where there are a number of jobs that are being advertised around data science. So is that a particular trend that perhaps people can see and follow, or is that sort of a flash in the pan situation just for now?
No, well, I mean, data science is really just a new title. I mean, it's probably been around longer than we think. It's nothing new. I think the fact is companies are starting to capture more data.
Yeah.
And I think with this whole story around big data, I think people realize there's a lot of kind of trying to understand your data and a lot of time and effort required to really interpret your data and obviously be able to understand trends or changes required to then put back into the business. So the data science is there to help obviously understand that data and better visualize it for companies to make decisions on what to do next or what to change in their kind of solutions to clients. And it might be a trend change, it might be a certain segment of your customer base that you're going to try different things with. So, you know, I mean, I suppose it's really having an analytical brain, really. Someone who has an analytical brain that could be perfect for those type of roles.
Yeah.
And really has an interest in data and trying to manipulate and understand data, be able to mine the data and obviously really understand it. So, you know, those roles are only going to grow because obviously data is becoming the new kind of digital gold in a sense for companies to really start to target their customers, you know, and personalized experiences through, you know, mobile, web, or whatever touch points, you know, customers and businesses use.
Now, I just want to take a step back and perhaps focus on Bluegrass Digital and just ask, how do you guys actually make money? You don't have to tell us how much you're actually making, but how does the actual business model work? And is it the same as what it was when you founded the company?
Yeah, well, essentially, we've been around for 20-odd years. We actually grew up in the UK with an office in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And today we're doing a lot more in South Africa, certainly as digital has grown. We've always been building software, you know, so from the early days of basic web interfaces to, you know, today we have mobile interfaces, responsive interfaces, you know, with them all talking to each other from the same sort of back office or engine. So, you know, how we make money, I suppose we're a solutions business, so we're a services business. Essentially, we engage with clients that come to us who are looking to build a product or platform potentially that may be a mobile app, which may also need a data housing, so somewhere where your data lives and be able to access it through a web portal where you can then, you know, run reports and view your data or manage your users. So a lot of web apps are not simply just the app that sits on your phone. There's often a lot of it requires connectivity to the internet because it's talking to a database that's sitting in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah.
So we help clients really put those solutions together. So often they come with maybe very little knowledge. Maybe they know they want to create an app that does X, Y, and Z. And we help them unpack the thinking, help them prototype it out, do the UX and design for the interface, and then help them build and put the right technology stack that's obviously scalable for the future in place. And in some cases, you know, we continue to support and innovate and you know, continue the product development cycle with them after they go live.
Has this changed? I think, you know, the actual business model, what you're describing now, is it still the same process as what you had in the beginning, or, you know, essentially, is it still the same?
Well, it has. I mean, what's changed is the ways you do your work. I think the way the processes have changed.
Okay.
And we still, you know, go through a process. You've got to design and do certain things. But, you know, processes have gone from a very structured waterfall process, which is very, you know, go through a phased approach, to a much more agile, in iterative process these days. So things move a lot faster. You know, I think both clients are more educated, and obviously the industry has evolved processes of ways of building and delivering apps at a faster pace. So, you know, often you are learning as you go, because, you know, even if you try and think everything out, you may not get it right the first time.
Mm.
That's why it's an ever evolving process. You know, it's not a case of build it and they will come, as you've probably heard before. You know, it's a case of continue to evolve and adjust and understand your data, make improvements as you learn more, with the users, you know, using the application or solution that you put in place.
All right. Now, lastly, what do you think is the biggest challenge holding back app developers, or I guess one of the biggest reasons why app development houses fail? And I guess in the market, you'd think that with everyone on their phone, you know, anyone who can code is making money. But I'm sure, like any other industry, there are challenges. What are they at the moment?
Well, I think, yeah, we live in a country that's going through a lot of political and economic challenges. So I think, as everyone's seen and read, the business environment is tough. But, you know, if there is a sector that, you know, companies and business are investing in, it tends to be in digitization or technology, because it's a way they've got to move forward. So a lot of the investment is in those areas. I think at the end of the day, you're still running a business. So although you might be passionate about the technology, you need to run it as any other business is run, where you need to obviously find your clients. You need to attract your clients through the usual marketing and you know, referral processes that you do. And then also you need to deliver, because, you know, if you don't get it right for a customer or your project goes wrong, you know, I always say you're only as good as your last project.
Mm.
You know, so to build reputation takes time. You know, we've been doing this a long time, and you know, experience counts for a lot. Having learned how to adapt and improve and refine processes within the business to deliver projects, you know, on time, on budget, and so forth. So you're all running a business. So it's a machine in its own right. So, you know, if you're running, you know, a car manufacturing business or a bakery, you know, we all deal with the same challenges. As you know, you can't get away with the fact that it's a business at the end of the day, despite the exciting technology space that we work in.
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess lastly, it's just about trends, you know, in the local market, because I think around the world we hear of certain buzzwords, AI, that's artificial intelligence, cloud, mobile wallets, wearables, you know, issues of security, chatbots, big data, stuff like that. In South Africa, where do you see the most growth, I guess, coming from? Where should developers, you know, perhaps be focusing their attention?
Well, I think you just listed them all out now. but I think, you know, we do take our lead from global trends. I think we do have certain challenges on the South African or African side. I mean, I've mentioned earlier about having the cost of data.
Yeah.
I think it really is holding us back from the fact of getting to a larger population reach in terms of being able to utilize apps and the technology that we have available. I think obviously things like big data and the data science side of things is a big play.
Yeah.
It's a big play for companies to understand that, and then being able to innovate and learn, take learnings from that and put it back into the the development of their solutions. So I think these trends are emerging. I mean, there's areas like blockchain that's been spoken about. I think there's so much noise out there. There's a lot going on. I think a good point is to often stick to and keeping remain focused on what you're trying to achieve. If you're running a business in the space or building a product, is to focus on what its objectives are and keep focused as much as possible. But I mean, all these different areas are going to grow. And they are growing at different and leaps and bounds, so I don't think, I think it's an exciting time for and scary at the same time for a lot of people, but I think it is an exciting time.
It is an exciting time. There's a lot going on in and around the app development space. So that's been us with Nick Durant, who is the Bluegrass Digital founder and CEO. And he was just giving us, some background around what's going on in and around app development. He's talking about the fact that in South Africa, all of the global trends such as AI, cloud, mobile wallets, wearables and the like are going to be big, especially since South Africa takes its cues from the global market. But one of the biggest things that's holding South Africa back is some of the unique challenges. For example, the high cost of mobile data, for example, which is holding the market back from some of the critical adoption and mass adoption that's needed to scale particular platforms. So that's been us. It's been a very interesting discussion. Nick, how can people engage with you guys or any commentary or research or anything like that that they might want from you?
You're welcome to reach out on the website bluegrassdigital.com or just Google us. We also have all the usual social channels out there, and we're quite active on those from a marketing perspective. So happy for anyone to reach out or interested in doing some business. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So that's been it for today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find the latest podcasts of the Business Day Spotlight on the Business Live website under Podcast Business Day Spotlight, the tab. And then on Twitter, our hashtag is #BDSpotlight. Remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods. And thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza. Remember that the Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.